I'm Patrick.
This is Will.
And I'm Chris, and we are Guys with Issues. And in today's issue, we're doing an independent comic for the month of independence.
Heck yeah.
Since we've done two Captain America. Although, coincidentally, we had the most interesting thing happen in America recently that,
that we're not going to talk about.
Why?
I don't know.
It is a crazy time to be an American. That's the reality.
That's the reality.
This week, we read Lazarus by Greg Rucka.
We sure did.
And he's a creator that I personally enjoy, although he has some tropes that I kind of get him over sometimes. But before we talk about that, Patrick's going to tell us about his parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, it went really well.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And everybody love your photos?
Yes.
And your super scanner?
They were very impressed with the photos.
You didn't share about your scanner last time.
I did not.
You should.
I really didn't want anybody to know about it before.
Ah, that makes sense. But you should talk about what's so cool about it, what you showed me.
Right. So it has it's literally just a button that removes aged color on photos.
So like that yellowed vintage-y
yes.
look that people use filters to add to their photos.
Right.
It takes that away.
Takes it away. It does a great job.
Anti-filter.
Yep.
Yeah, and they look like new photos, pretty much.
Right, pretty much.
I mean, what you showed us was crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, it went great. Decorations were wonderful. Food was great.
Did you play Yakety Sax the entire time?
I did not.
Oh, just checking.
Yeah.
How disappointing.
So I got there a little early with the parents, and I was told to wait, like drive them around, do something, wait. I was like, okay. Whatever, we'll just sit here and talk. About 10 minutes or 5 minutes into that, I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're probably running around because they don't have everything quite ready yet.
Mm.
I should get out of the car, run over there, and play Blair Yakety Sax on my phone just because I thought it would be hilarious. I didn't end up doing it, but I still think it would have been hilarious.
But you have a mental picture of it.
I do. I do. And it is amazing.
Well.
Yeah.
What was the food focus? Like, was it just like cake and stuff, or did they have a meal?
So, we got cake. Because
this went on for several hours, did it not?
Yeah, one of my sister-in-laws made her famous cabbage noodles.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Which was really good. And then they did sausage, like Polish sausage with it.
Ooh.
And fried chicken.
Well, that sounds nice. Like a pretty good meal.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Quick question. Who's the cabbage noodles famous to?
The family.
Oh, okay.
And anybody who knows her.
Well, I don't know.
They're like, this is the best stuff I've ever had in my life.
You're the only Cashin I really know apart from your sister.
Right. Famous.
I've technically only ever met your sister and Christoph twice.
It's like Will's mom's like favorite raspberry dessert, right? Like it's famous amongst all who've tasted it.
And I didn't say world famous. So.
No, you just said famous.
That's why I wanted to ask. Yeah. Like you specify that it's famous. I'm like, who's the fan base here? Is it just the fam?
It's really.
Did she win a contest for cabbage noodles?
But it was really good.
Oh, man.
I just want to make sure there wasn't like a cabbage noodle festival somewhere that I'm missing out on.
It's just not good for you.
No?
No.
Really?
That's why it's so good.
What makes it? I mean, cabbage is pretty good for you. Noodles are hit or miss.
Oh, trust me.
Is it? Does it have tomato in it?
No.
Does it have cocaine?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
No, it doesn't have cocaine.
It's like, I thought that was Parmesan cheese.
No, it is really good.
Is it buttery? Is that why?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of butter and stuff. Interesting. You're going to have to tell us more about this or give us the recipe. Does she give out the recipe?
I don't know.
Or is it like
I've
a guarded secret?
I don't think it's a guarded secret. I could ask her.
Hmm. because our old pal had a Coney dog recipe that it was a legitimate guarded secret. He wouldn't get out the sauce recipe to anybody.
Because his family used to own like a semi actually famous Coney dog stand.
Yes. And it when it closed, that like that is the recipe that they were known for.
Uh-huh.
And so only a few people like within the family even know what the recipe is. But he will not share it with you.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I guess it'll just die with that family. That's fine.
I know, right? I think he picks somebody to carry it on.
Well, that's what happened with a fish fry recipe that we had around this area.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody loved it so much, he would not give it up, and he died.
Oh, no. Wow.
That is...
And nobody's been able to replicate it since.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. It was probably dill pickles.
Yeah, it was actually dill pickles. It wasn't fish fry. It wasn't fried fish. Yeah, it was fried dill pickles, but nobody's figured that out.
He was so good. He was so good. He made them taste like fish.
Right.
Wow. That... I don't even know what to think about this.
I don't either.
I recently read that the...
secret we're not to that, we're not to that segment yet.
You can
share, but you can still share the way you always do.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A, their chicken sandwich, they actually kind of like soak it in pickle juice.
Yeah, I could tell you. I could have told you that. It has a pickle flavor to it.
But it's because they usually put pickles on it.
Yeah. No, I mean it's throughout the whole thing. I could have told you that, yeah, without even reading that, whatever you read.
Well, then, moving on.
One of the fish fry, like the big fish fry fundraising companies in our area,
yeah,
either Dan's or Jonah's, because you see those two a lot.
Sure.
And I cannot remember which one it was that I helped with one time, but their dredge... their fish is phenomenal. And what part of the secret is, because obviously they have many seasonings and things that go into their breading, but the egg wash dredge that was used actually had like mustard or honey mustard or something in it.
Yeah.
And so that, but they told us that one of the things they do that's different than a lot of places is the dredge has like a mustard in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw a guy make a sauce the other day that was almost like the McDonald's special sauce. Mm-hmm. Like it had like ketchup and mustard.
Like the Big Mac sauce.
Like mayo. Yeah.
Okay.
But then he took like kimchi
.
And kind of diced it up or blended it up real fine and mixed that in with it. And I'm like, dang, that was probably pretty good.
That sounds real fine to me.
Fine and dandy. Pretty dandy.
Right.
A little dandy.
Little dandy.
So, did you have anything else you wanted to share that you did?
No, it was really all I did that weekend. Get it ready for that party and that party.
That's true. But your parents appreciated it, had a great time.
Yeah, they had a good time.
Good.
Yep.
And that was the goal.
That was the goal.
So, they did not know about it.
I mean, they knew about it.
But they weren't supposed to.
Like, there would have been times where, you know, so my sister sent out the invites to everybody. And then some people who couldn't come just, you know, got a hold of my mom, was like, hey, you know, congratulations on this. Like, sorry, you couldn't come. No, they didn't know like the specifics and what we were doing with the party.
They didn't know what the party was, but they were like, they knew there was a party.
They knew, yeah, they knew stuff.
Of course, that's how it is. What about you, Will? You got any bancha?
Well, originally my plan for last weekend was to go to the friends. Right.
With jambalaya.
Yeah. But that kind of got curtailed when Friday at work, I got flash burned because I work at a weld shop.
Yeah.
And my eyeballs. And it got me pretty good.
Did you put the potatoes on them?
That's what I'm getting to.
Nice.
So, I'm like, this really sucks, but it also presents me for an opportunity for the podcast. So silver linings.
Right.
This one old guy at work told me about, you know, the potatoes.
Yeah.
But then he also told me about like an actual eye drop solution that you can just go to like CVS and get.
Which is made from potatoes.
Dude, that would be
would have been sick, but no, I looked.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm like, is the secret potatoes? And so I'm like, I wonder how well, because I had to fit, like, gauge how well the potatoes would work compared to like an actual pharmaceutical
eye drop,
like an actual, like, you know.
So you took eye drop in one and a potato in the other?
Exactly. Shut up. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Nice.
It wasn't a great experiment because it was a little bit worse in my left than my right.
Yeah, but that's about as controlled in that situation as you could do.
I know, right? So for the left eye, I'm like, I'm going to put the drops and I would put the potato on my right.
Right.
And like lie down and let the juices in. And boy, that's not something I would do for fun. Having like potato juice in the eye.
A little painful.
That it tingles.
Yeah.
Does it really?
Tingles and stings.
Wow.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
It's not like I'm going to be...
So starch in the eye is uncomfortable.
It's not a good feeling. So at least it wasn't like when I had the flash burn because it, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine it is any time, but you know, hey.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to be sitting at work be like, man, I can't wait to go home and cut a potato in half and just squeeze those juices.
It's like
into my eyeballs.
Spa day, but instead of cucumbers, Will's always throwing potatoes on potatoes. So what were your findings? Give us the rundown.
Honestly, the potato worked just as well as the actual eye drop solution.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and like cool. In both like immediate relief as like, you know, this is really uncomfortable, but also like, I don't know if it's because like, I don't know, but they seem to heal up pretty consistently at the same time.
Interesting.
Huh.
So a homeopathic remedy for injured eyes is potato.
Potatoes, yeah. If you ever hurt yourself in the eyeballs.
Sandwiches and potatoes are really what this podcast is about.
Man, I want some sandwiches and potatoes.
You know, we...
I mean, usually have potatoes when you eat a sandwich, either chips or French fries.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
And mustard.
Right. You gotta get that mustard.
Will. So you missed the party, but you
yes,
but you tested a suggested remedy.
Yes, I did.
So, silver lining.
Silver linings, yeah. Right?
I also did not get to attend the party. We had something come up last weekend as well. So I was unable to participate.
Which I was kind of bummed because partway through Saturday, our buddy Nick texted me. He's like, hey, are you still going to Melissa's to, you know, the party? And I'm like, I can't anymore. My eyeballs are on fire. So,
I mean, flash burn.
Yeah.
The word burn is there.
I want to start using that just as an excuse in general.
I can't come. My eyeballs are on fire.
I'd love to go, but my eyeballs, they're on fire.
People won't know how to respond, so that'll shut it down pretty
easily. Yeah, that's the point.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Yep.
It's great. This is one old guy at I was like 18 or 19 working at somewhere. This old guy told me that one of the excuses they used back in the day was they'd call into work and be like, I can't come in. I've got an eye disease. I just can't see myself coming into work today.
Right.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I was waiting.
Wow. Okay. Do you have anything else, Will?
I mean, the stuff I was doing or?
Yeah. For your banter.
Not really.
Okay. Well, I'll knock mine out real quick. I'm not going to go into anything other than I did take a pack of instant ramen and really dolled it up and made something special over the weekend. It was delicious.
Nice.
Yep. I like cooked up some green onion and garlic and ham, and I soft boiled eggs, and it was epic.
So you really hammed it up then?
It was delicious.
Wonderful.
Awesome. I've done that before too. It's pretty good.
I could go on and on, but we're not gonna.
It's kind of like it's kind of like an easy dinner option, really, because unless and how dialed up you get, but you can just like.
Interesting facts? Wacky facts? Will's wacky facts! Did you bring the solution to your mushroom growing scientist.
I read it guy. Honestly, it was well written, but kind of vague and disappointing at the end. So it's not even worth like
did the police do it?
He didn't convince me. Like he didn't have anything like because he had like a recording of like the tape or like a transcript of the tape.
Yeah,
and it's like the police officer just kept denying it. Police officer should probably enunciate that a bit better. And I don't know, like people were like, oh, and like it's he did a good job writing it, technically speaking.
So it was really a conspiracy more than anything.
Yeah, it's just
unfounded.
There's a few things that were kind of unanswered, and the police definitely seemed to do things that were kind of shady.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing that really jumped out at me like, oh, this could be like a solid, because I love me a good conspiracy, but I don't know. There just wasn't a whole lot in there that had me. But
that's disappointing.
Yeah. I kind of decided to go a slightly different route this week because I saw someone post a question online, and I know that both of you have read quite a few books, either read or listened to. And so I'm like, this would actually be kind of interesting to hear your responses on. So the question is, what book would you be excited to see turned into a video game?
Ooh.
Because typically books get made into movies and they do a so-so job.
Cradle. That would be an awesome video game. It's got leveling. You get crazy moves.
Well,
you get to do a tournament segment.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fighting game.
You see, that was my first
guy, so.
But then I thought.
But I'm thinking of it as like a hack and slash RPG, like what I play already, like Zenless Zone Zero.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like with Cradle.
My initial response was that, because I think at one point in time at like a breakfast we had a long time ago,
I was thinking if I would want something more than that.
But then I thought of one that would actually be
better.
I'm between
the Kama
two.
Sutra.
Yes.
Okay, Will, what's yours? Patrick's got two.
So, yeah, I'll go first. It's the first book, The Final Empire, in the Mistborn series. Because if you think about it,
Mistborn would be good.
They already have
Mistborn really would be good.
They already have like a class system. Like, because some people can manipulate emotions, some people are strong, some people can push or pull metals, or you can do all of them. And it's already like a consumable based power. So like you have to have the metals in you in order to be able to use it. And so I'm like, it's almost already set up to be
right
like a video game system.
Yeah.
Would you want it structured akin to something like Baldur's Gate or like Assassin's Creed?
Ooh.
Because okay. I would want it
I
to be
Assassin's
Creed.
Creed
because
yeah,
if
yeah.
you could push and pull.
Right.
Like, which automatically is kinda what I would want to do then. I would want the sequel series.
You see, I haven't read that, so I couldn't say for sure.
Oh, I would definitely want.
But like, thematically.
It's different. It's very different. But I think that I would want that one.
But then I couldn't decide if I would want a game that was based off of the same story. Like you played as Vin and you learned how to be like the full Mistborn. And you get to.
Nah, I would want somebody else in that world.
Or, just like or a random like, yeah, dude? You could
yeah,
be just like.
It's a new story in that world.
Yeah,
that's
make
what
it,
I would want.
Make it in that world, but you get to create your own character, and you can choose to like be one of the.
It would have to be before the finale of the first series, then.
It would. It would definitely.
But then you have like a big city you can explore.
Oh yeah,
and like you could, you know, and you're basically a thief or an assassin, and
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. That's a good choice. I like that. What are your two?
Well, I would. So this has actually been a video game. And they screwed up royally. The Wheel of Time, I would really like to be. I don't know if I want
to. They made a Wheel of Time video game?
Yeah, I have it.
Really? It was officially licensed?
Yes.
Wow.
I know they did a so-so job on the Amazon thing.
No, they didn't. yeah. It's old.
It's like your favorite book series,
it is.
Though. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it would be more like a. Wow, I just completely lost it.
Like Baldur's Gate?
Similar to Baldur's Gate.
More like a turn-based RPG.
Yeah. Well, not really turn, but yeah.
Like Divinity Original Sin.
Divinity. That's the one I was thinking.
Yeah, it's the same as Baldur's Gate.
Same as Baldur's Gate.
It is, but it's better.
Divinity?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you like Divinity better because it doesn't rely on the D&D rule set as much?
So. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess you like Original Sin 2 a little bit better.
I do.
I think they doesn't expanded everybody? Upon...
Does anybody think the first one is better? I don't think so.
Right.
Probably not.
I don't think so. What was the other one then?
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Which is already kind of a video
game.
It's already kind of
a video game, yeah.
What about He Who Fights with Monsters? Would that be a cool video game?
That would also be a very cool video game, but I think...
That'd be tricky to pull off that system,
To pull off, right. And Dungeon Crawler Carl, I think, would work so much better.
Interesting. I've never tried it.
It's more of contained thing. Than He Who Fights with Monsters. If you want, I can show you the Wheel of Time video game.
Is there anything that I think would be cooler than Cradle as a video game? Mistborn was a good answer.
It's a first-person shooter.
Mistborn. What?
What, the Wheel of Time?
Yes.
I didn't know they had guns in that game.
They use Angriel.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
It is. It's weird.
That is weird. Is it like a boomer shooter, like Doom style?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Wow. That is bonkers.
Yeah. I think it was released like late 90s.
Interesting. Yeah. I just saw that. Yeah, I'm like, you guys.
That's an interesting question.
You guys might enjoy this. So.
Yeah, but yeah. I would really like a Divinity type system with the Wheel of Time because I don't know how else you could do the weaving of all of the stuff and.
Yeah.
And things.
That makes sense.
Right. And the story is just massive. But I would once again want a different story in that same universe.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to play through the wheel?
No. If I want to experience that, I'll read the books.
What about, speaking of things like that, Dark Tower would be kind of cool.
Never read it.
Stephen King's Dark Tower.
Oh, I think I started reading that at one point in time.
I've read the... first book, I think.
Yeah, because
I didn't read the series.
A few of them.
Yeah, I think there's seven or something.
For Cradle, would you want to play as Lyndon and play that whole story, or would you want it to be kind of like Pat, where it's in the world, but you get to make your own character, and it's an independent story, so that you know, it might not disappoint you that it's, you know, a little bit different?
I would be fine getting to play as Lyndon. I mean, you could do, like Patrick said, he doesn't like fighting games. You could do the Uncrowned King as like a normal fighting game. And you could choose like the different types of people that were in it.
Yeah, definitely.
That would actually fit really well in that universe.
It could be like a Tales game where you got the characters, but then you can switch in between. And...
Well, I was going to say, if you think of it like the game we've been playing, like Zenless Zone Zero, if you make like a team... periodically of like the people that are with him and you could swap them out and have those kinds of moments. I think it'd be cool to play through the core story because of the power scaling and with the right set pieces and planning, a game could be pretty cool to play through.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could do it where you could pledge to, I mean, if you think of it as an RPG, you could do it where you pledge to one of the main monarchs.
Monarch factions.
Yeah, and then be under that monarch and have like a power line that's similar to theirs or whatever. You could do something like that.
Because technically, Cradle 2 does have like a consumable-based like power-up system.
Yeah, your core.
Like, and then, you know, there's ways in the book, they were able to consume something.
Which would work perfect as a free-to-play gacha game because you can use all kinds of special sacred treasures.
Please no.
We could make millions.
No, I'm just imagining it as like a 2D fighting game, like Double Dragon.
Oh, I like a side-scrolling beat 'em up.
Yeah, side-scrolling beat 'em up.
That could be cool.
Yeah,
I enjoy like the Ninja Turtles ones and Streets of Rage and all that stuff. That could be cool. That those are they did one of those for Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah,
that
was it's really cool,
where you played
prequel.
As his dad and his Kingsguard.
Yep,
that was cool. Did you play that?
No,
I think it came free if you bought like
I think if you pre-ordered the game it
or pre-ordered or something.
Something like
it was
that.
Pretty cool. I have the disc and I own it. But anyway, I think it's free now. I think anybody can download it. And it's like a whole side-scrolling beat-em-up game.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no like monetization of it. I'm pretty sure you can just get it for free. Nice. It's short, but a lot of those are.
Right. Just like the Cradle books.
Pretty short?
They are pretty short.
They are.
There's quite a few of them, though.
But they're so well-tuned overall.
I know.
No fluff. Sometimes you wish there was more.
Okay.
Yep.
What's next, Steve?
Are we doing emails or snacks?
Emails. It's time.
Emails.
Do we have emails?
Yep. We've got one.
I bet I know whose it is.
Unless my phone is time skipping again and then... Nope, still just the one. All right. And you know who it's from? It's from Christoph, King of the Ales.
No way.
And it says, all by myself with Patrick.
Oh, he's going to talk about lunch.
I plead the fifth.
On the podcast.
How did you know?
I plead the fifth.
I thought you said you didn't read these. He says, hey, guys.
Two rivers.
That's from the Wheel of Time.
He says, hey, guys. Can't believe you didn't rate the Winter Soldier comic out of Metal Arms. Seemed like a gimme, but I guess you needed a hand to come up with that.
Wow.
But get it?
Wow.
Loved all the puns from the literary guys. Keep them coming. We need to know if Chris ended up going to Will's house to have dinner because we sure didn't show.
It wasn't.
He sure
at
didn't
Will's
show
house.
Up to my lunch date with him.
No.
And yeah, it wasn't at my house. It was at a friend's house.
Yeah. Pay attention when you listen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Getting hard on him. Chris is taking that break off.
Throwing
break
down
up
the gauntlet.
With Christoph pretty hard.
If he wants to stir it up on the podcast, I'm going to stir it up right back.
Hard to fix a redacted status like that, but I had a great lunch with Patrick and Brooke instead. I have a new section for myself to add to the podcast where I guess Patrick's PIN number. My first guess, 0001.
That is incorrect.
Oh,
okay,
my
so
gosh.
Try again next time. glad to see that the sixth Sheik didn't trip up Will, but Podricuted got him. I have to make up more tongue twisters now. I actually read some of White Sands from Brandon Sanderson, so I would love a review on this. Keep up the great work of having lunch with everyone but me.
Will do.
Yours truly, the longtime listener, first-time emailer every time, the one who charges things all the time, the one who fights the IRS audits, the Logan, the prolonger of podcasts, the hunter of Superboy, the nutso to the butso, the so much redacted, the sixth Sheik, the ying to LW's yang, the extreme river crier, the podricuted, not electrocuted, the king of emails, Christoph.
He added the king of emails.
He did.
Wow.
He did.
Self-proclaimed. It needs to say. Self-proclaimed king of emails. Oh, geez.
Yep, yep, yep. And that was it for this week in emails.
I was waiting for somebody to say thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, maybe Chris will go to lunch with you next time. Just keep bringing it up.
No, he said...
Thanks for emailing, Chris.
No, it'll be my
or
new goal
to avoid
it. Or should
I say Chris? Thanks for emailing Chris.
There you go. That was good.
Yeah.
Now
seems like they're going through a rough patch in their relationship.
Oh, the it's wedding about got, to get rougher.
The wedding got called off, and now, you know, there's some tension in the room. We might have to do some therapy or something.
Joke's on him. I edit the podcast. I can do what I want. Remember that, Christoph, when you call in.
All right then.
We can stir it up, keep it going. People like tension and contention. There you go. He broke
Most
up
people.
With me. I skipped out on his lunch. It's going to keep growing. I'll cut out like a third of everything he says. Like literally every so many seconds, it'll just cut out on the call-in. Be prepared, Christoph.
Just bleep out every fourth word so that people think he's just swearing all the time.
Or just add bleeps between his words.
Oh, that would be... Just throw him in like he's... It would take a lot of work, but I would be willing.
I know you would.
It would sound hilarious.
It really
and
would.
And very unlike Kristoff.
Exactly. That's exactly what would happen.
So, Lorena's bag is the main contender today.
Yep.
Yeah, it is the one we're going to pull from.
Yeah. Although there are some things that need to be fixed in it. Will tries weird things. Will's wacky facts, which was a question today. Will reads emails. Will tries weird things.
Technically, we all try weird things.
Will reads a synopsis. I love it. I love it.
It gives me something
to
do.
I think you do a great job.
Thank you.
You do.
I mean that.
A wonderful job.
I'm not being sarcastic. I mean
or
it.
Facetious. Or
yeah.
Any of the other words?
Okay, hold on. I'm removing something that I was told.
I'm not looking.
There are extras of these.
Oh, more sponge.
More sponge. I think there's one other, but I don't
want. Oh, there's more of those.
Don't be pinging.
Oh, sorry.
Here, just reach in and grab.
I didn't cut you this time, did I?
Literally the easiest one. It's just like last time. It's a big bag.
Just like last time.
All right, so we got Aritos.
Haritos?
Aritos.
Aritos.
From the Batana Company. It's wheat snack with chili powder and artificial lime flavor.
Interesting.
And there's a knockoff of Tony the Tiger on here. I bet it's his like... Mexican cousin, like Antonio. All right. Just going to take some and pass her around.
Oh, they're little rings. They're little red rings.
And they're great.
Did you try one? You doing it?
Not yet. I'm about to.
They're a wheat snack, it says.
Those are really interesting.
You know what they taste like?
There's actually a cereal.
It tastes like if you took.
It reminds me of.
It's like if you took Cheerios.
Yes.
And dumped chili powder on it.
No, not Cheerios. It's something else. I feel like it's something else. Here, throw me some.
We're gonna sit here as Chris eats the whole bag, trying to think of the one cereal.
What is it? What is that?
Probably wheat based.
These are pretty good though. Like the flavors are real simple, but like chili powder is just good on its own, I think. But there is just like the very slightest hint of lime.
I don't need enough cereal to know.
Dude, I used to eat so much cereal.
I didn't eat a lot of cereal, but I did eat a lot of Pop-Tarts, and then I stopped for like 10 years. But the other day I was at Martin's Supermarket, and I was walking down the breakfast, and they had banana bread Pop-Tarts. And I'm like, I've got to try this. And I got them.
And?
They actually taste like banana bread.
Oh, that's cool.
And I do love me some banana bread.
These seem like a good beer snack. What do you think, Patrick, as you chase that?
Oh, it makes the beer taste different.
Better or worse?
Different.
You ever have a michelada?
We talked about that recently on one of these.
I don't know. Have
we
I?
We did. Like,
Heather, have I had a michelada?
Yeah, you got to write in and tell us.
Yeah, I don't want to mess it up again.
Because he has been to Mexico a couple times.
Because if I do mess it up, Dad might say, yeah, I've got some michelada. And then it's going to start a whole nother thing.
I'd be down.
By the way, that's what it is. I meant to tell you this the other day. When we had a discussion on when people say nother instead of another, you just said it. You said whole nother thing. That's when people do it the most, is when they use whole before it.
Hey,
I listened to an interview with somebody and they said it and I went, that's what it is. It's instead of whole other, people say a whole nother thing.
Yeah, I just did it.
I know. That's what, and it made me go, oh, I meant to tell him.
So I'm there the you go. Best.
Have you ever had Kix?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to decide if that's what it is.
There you go, Laura. There's some mouth sounds for you.
Wow, that's really, really loud when you eat it like that. That's like crispy.
Yep.
Crispy Chris. Dang it. That is, I'm going to.
You're going to just be eating those so the rest of the podcast.
I said eating the whole bag to figure it out as a joke, but he's still just.
It's got to be Kix.
There you go. It's Kix. We figured it out.
It's like chili lime Kix.
It's not going to say on the bag, Will.
No, see, and they're actually like a, I wouldn't call them healthy, but it's a pretty low calorie snack because all of that.
They're like veggie chips, right?
All of that is only like 2.5 servings.
Nice.
And there's only 120.
That's what I'm talking about. That kind of crunchy, spicy snack for that. Oh, you can't hardly beat that.
No.
I'll have to take a picture.
You know, 120 calories per serving.
Right.
Oh, there are other flavors.
Oh.
There are some like really spicy ones. Some are just salt and lime. It looks like Botanico, which is the brand, is owned by Mexicorp.
Wow. I wonder where that's based out of.
That sounds like something out of Futurama, to be perfectly honest with you.
It does.
It's based out of Texas.
Which is like Mexico light.
I mean southern historically Texas. Speaking, I mean, it's been a part of Mexico at times.
We just kind of decided that Texas was going to be part of America.
Maybe.
You know, you might be right. Now that I see the box, I think I have had
it. It says it's a whole grain breakfast cereal.
If I've had it, I don't remember what it tastes like.
Now I want to get Kix and see if it tastes like.
Next week on Guys with Issues, Chris and I are going to eat a bowl of Kix to figure out if that's what it is.
Got to get some chili powder and some lime. Put it on Kix.
Dude, if that works, I guarantee you Kix has way more. If I'm right, though, that's going to be awesome. I was going to say it's got way more sugar.
Yeah. Anyway, Lorena, that was actually a really good snack.
Yeah, it was. Is. I like these.
He's just going to randomly take a bite throughout the rest of the podcast.
No. No. Yes.
Maybe.
Or he's going to want to.
Oh, he's going to think about it.
Yeah, it's right there next to him.
So, Will, now that we're done with
Chris.
Delicious snacks, because that was another one. Lorena's really...
She's bringing it.
She's really provided some pretty tasty treats. So is Christoph. You know,
yeah,
regardless of our relationship status, I will say that 100% Christoph's provided excellent snacks as well.
Yes. They're both doing great jobs.
Yes. We have wonderful snack friends.
We do.
And we are 100% grateful for your contributions to the segment that is called Will Tries Weird Things.
So Will Tries Weird Things just left and Roomba Will came in.
Yep, it's time to suck. Okay. Wow. Chris didn't like that. So he headbutted his mic.
Sure. Go ahead, Will.
Anyway.
Synapses are synapses.
In a dystopian near future, lands are ruled by a handful of families and territories. Resources are highly coveted, and those who are useful are made to serve the families. Those who are not are thrown away to live in the wastelands. Forever Carlisle is made to defend her family and their holdings through force, deception, and any other means necessary. Forever is shot dead by intruders invading her home, except Forever is a Lazarus, and something as simple as death can't hold her down for long. A Lazarus can rapidly recover from wounds that would be fatal to normal humans. She uses this to her advantage to ensure her family's dominance in their domain. But is she certain about the family she fights for? Find out with us today on Guys with Issues.
That was good.
That was excellent.
Thank you. Thank you.
Top tier. Top tier. Let's get in it, Patrick.
Yeah, what's up?
Did you have a favorite part?
Nope.
Didn't have a favorite part?
Nope. It was
is that a good no or a bad no?
I don't know.
We're going to find
out. It just felt like a bunch of stuff that was just introducing things.
Well, I mean, it is volume one.
I know. But there wasn't any like standout part to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you also felt that way. Because my notes are pretty sparse this week.
Nope. Oh,
yep, I know. It's going to be, this is going to be super short. Will, did you have a favorite part?
Yes, actually. I went back through it and decided that when Forever goes to, I think it's Los Angeles, where her brother's kind of like in charge of, maybe it was San Francisco, I can't remember which one it is now. She leaves to go negotiate with this other family that launched an attack on one of their compounds. And the brother has one of his guys kind of tailor. And she's kind of walking through the streets. You see him falling behind, and she hands a note to some kids. And, you know, the guy walks up and takes the note after she leaves. And it's like, Mason, which is the guy's name, if you don't stop following me, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, that's actually kind of slick, because you said this is supposed to be like a spy, like,
right,
intrigue, espionage kind of genre. So I'm like, that's actually kind of like a cool, you know,
yeah,
way to show like her skill level, because she's being followed. She knows she's being followed. So, you know, kind of plays into that whole genre.
I agree.
I like that scene too. Makes you laugh out loud when you
it does.
See it too.
Especially his face.
Yeah, where he realized that he totally just got played.
He got made. Yeah.
But she's like so far beyond everybody else for the most part. There's a few parts I really like in this, but I like the scene where you see that you see her go and do the negotiations. Like she goes down and represents her family and says, these are the terms, we're willing to do this. My dad knows that his son's the one that you're talking with and was the mole, and he's aware that, you know, there's treachery in the family. So if you cut him off, we'll pledge to do these things for you. I liked that. I like her character in that moment too, and just how that felt.
Yeah, it kind of shows you just how controlled she is, because she repeats his words. It seems like verbatim.
Yeah. Because she was genetically engineered.
Yeah.
To be perfect, basically. Did you have any other scenes you liked?
One, like at the end, there was a few pages where it was the dad and the doctor who engineered her, James.
Mm-hmm.
They were like sitting on a park bench, and the doctor asked the dad, like, do you actually love her as a daughter? And he's like, no, I love her, but I love her as more of like a pet.
Or like a tool. Yeah.
She's not like, I don't love her as like a real daughter, but she needs that to think that I do, because that's what she craves. And it just kind of like, and all the while it kind of shows you like she's out fighting, and she's taking out some base and she burns it down. I don't know. But right before that is the kind of like the end of the volume where she gets like this email.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, your family's not your family. You aren't who you think you are, or something like that. And it's like, the artist drew her face, and for whatever reason, made me think like this took place right after that. And she was purposely keeping her face in a certain way, or something, like she was, you know, kind of faking it or something. I don't know. I kind of got like this, but almost like she knew, like she had read that email, and I don't know, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think the hook at the end, because that's what it is, like this being the intro to an independent, a lot of times the first several issues, they're just meant to hook you. And so that the end of the first arc is usually when you're like, yeah, I'm going to stick with this. And I thought I really enjoyed that as well, the email, to show you that there are people that know about their families and how they're operated that because, you know, the brothers and sisters, they all say that. They're like, she's not really our sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though the dad kind of implies throughout it that you think that he probably values her more than his actual offspring for the most part.
I can see why.
But yeah, I like the, I think the action sequences are pretty well done too, though. The medical stats that you get and how they read her, vitals to know what's going on. And,
oh yeah, that was really cool. Like when she gets blown up.
Yeah. And well, when she starts fighting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's interesting.
Yeah.
It shows that there's an understanding of like certain workings that the writer had to have to make it believable.
Oh yeah. If that makes sense. Had to do a bunch of research on like
what your body does,
hormones and endocrines, mm-hmm. and like, oh, it's this kind of response happening. And oh, look at this kind of activity happening. She's fighting for her life right now. Like they can't see what she's doing, but based solely off of her vital signs, they can kind of tell what's happening.
Yeah. Her biometrics or whatever. So Patrick, did you have a favorite character?
Forever.
Yeah. You too?
Yeah, she was one on my list.
Oh, who was your number one?
Based off of that last scene, I think the Dr. James. Kind of predicting that he, based off of his question, kind of like the wording and how he phrased it, I think he generally does care about Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the one who made her, and it seems like he's the one who actually thinks of her as a daughter. It's kind of like the feeling I got out of that. So
I would say Forever just because I think it's a good intro to her character.
It is, yeah.
Patrick,
yeah.
What was your least favorite scene?
Probably when, I don't know, I don't remember names. When the sister asked that person to beat her up.
What's her name, Johanna?
Joanna, yeah.
Just so she could frame her brother.
Because she's bad.
Because she's bad.
Clearly.
Yes.
Very bad. Yeah. What about you?
Mine is right before that. Well, like page-wise. But it's when she's in the bath and the brother shows up.
And it's...
That made me so uncomfortable because it felt like they had a kind of relationship a brother and sister probably shouldn't.
Because they do.
Yeah.
It's very Game of Thrones.
Actually, when I started reading this, you know what this comic really reminded me of? You ever watched the Netflix series Into the Badlands?
Yes, nope. I love that series.
Because it's kind of the same, like, overarch world premise where, you know, you have these families that control territory and they have assassins that kind of fight each other. But, like, Into the Badlands is assassins, basically, kind of very, like, kung fu guys because it's very, like, wuxia, whereas this is kind of more sci-fi.
That's a great series that got canceled.
I think there's two seasons.
Two or three. It got canceled early.
Yeah. I watched the first one, but never.
Yeah. I enjoyed that a lot. It was a shame. I'm not sure I had a least favorite part. Those two parts that you both mentioned are the parts that I don't really enjoy, but that's the point. I mean, they're just like crappy people being crappy.
Yeah.
Or making you uncomfortable.
I had two others. One was when the old man died, like in the beginning. They find out that
when
someone
she
betrayed.
Executes the
yeah, they're guy. Like, oh, there's a traitor amongst us because there was no security breach, but everything just turned off. So, you know, they're like, well, we're going to have to go execute everybody. But one old man kind of steps up and is like, it was me. Don't kill everybody, which, you know, noble on his part to save everybody else. But at the when right before she shoots him, or at least allegedly, I don't know if she actually does because it didn't show it. So leads you to think that maybe she didn't.
They say he asks why she killed him if she knew he wasn't the guy.
But she could have been lying.
But that's true. She could have lied.
And then the other one is kind of a trope more than anything else, is when she first goes and meets with the other family, like the sergeant in charge has a gun and she cuts his hand off. And you see this in several like movies, TV shows, whatever, where the good guy kind of like disarms a bad guy that's holding a gun right in front of their face. And it always kind of makes me mad because guns are projectile weapons. And all you have to do to prevent that is be like 5 yards away. you know? Like, it's kind of cool to see because it's like, oh.
It's just like how people don't hold their guns correctly when they go around corners in movies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like all you had to do is take like 5 steps back and that sword wouldn't have reached you and it wouldn't have been a problem.
Maybe 6.
Or 6, you know.
Just to be careful.
Right. It's a long sword. Who knows?
Or if it's Sephiroth, you got to be like in a different room.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And be able to throw a keyblade to interrupt him.
Dude, that
look at
that
him.
Was such a hard fight, though.
I know, it's the best fight in the whole game. Optional. Optional bosses.
I don't think I ever actually beat him in the second one. But I did in the first one.
Yeah, second one he's even harder.
Oh, yeah.
He is. So, did you have a least favorite character?
Most of the family?
Just most, not all.
Well, I liked Forever, so.
Right. The actual family.
Oh, all of the actual family.
Well, yeah, they're basically official, unofficial, what are they, like crime families, basically? It's like mafia kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they're not good people.
So there you go.
No. Who do you have?
So I listed some of the family. Specifically two. My number one is Jonah. Because he's just like, you know, at least Joanna has something going for her. She's smart. She's able to manipulate him. She's able to convince Forever that, you know, Jonah was the one.
Yeah, she's like the worst person, so but he's the lamer of the two.
But yeah, he's just manipulated and dumb.
And still and bad.
Still bad. But just he's bad at being bad. At least Joanna's good at being bad.
That's funny.
That is funny.
He's just yeah. bad at being bad. Jonah's mine too.
Cool.
And he's also part of the family. So we all technically
put him on our list.
Well, I mean, it's like 3/4 of all the characters introduced are the horrible
people.
Family.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Or, you know,
the focus is the Carlisle family in this volume.
Yeah. So yeah, my list was Jonah, then Joanna, and then everybody else is what I wrote down.
Out of Lazarus's.
Sure.
What you got?
I'm going to give it a 3.
That's what I expected.
Yep.
What 3. About you?
It's kind of annoying because I was also going to give it a 3. I think we've all been on the same page for quite a while now.
I give it a 5.
But you know it's coming.
I'm basing it on the first time I read it years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Interesting.
Because I genuinely think the world is interesting. I think the premise of having these like organized families that are kind of the only power sort, like the governing bodies, as like in this almost like post-apocalyptic world that everything seems to have broken down, have like immortal bodyguards that they've engineered for them. And I love stories about crime families and having to negotiate and throwing in an immortal bodyguard and that clearly the question of like, okay, what happens when she finds out and who's the one feeding her the information? And I thought that that was a great premise. So I that's why I stuck with the series. I bought the comics.
I am not a huge fan of reading stories about horrible people.
I know you've established that.
But I did enjoy the world that was in.
The world is what did it for me.
Why it got a 3 and not lower.
Yeah, as far as like introductory to a new story comics that we have read, this one was really good.
Like, yeah, that's I why think it's
like I gave it a 3, but it could easily like overall turn into a 5. I could see.
As just if you on, stuck
like,
with it.
How the story, even like the art was very like reminiscent of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but
very
more
similar
consistent.
Style. And that's literally what I was going to say. The next words out of my mouth were, it was so much more consistent that it did not bother me the same way.
Yeah. It was
oh,
good.
Yeah. Which we talked about that.
We did.
That it's the inconsistency of the Captain America, not the style.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is, a good example of what, in my opinion, a lot of independent comics feel like. Like, if you read a lot from Image, a lot of them have, like, kind of vague beginnings. And they'll have a hook in the first few issues. A lot of times, they're not good feeling. They're not. Like, that is very common for independent comics. At least all the ones that I've tried.
I like my stories to be good feeling.
But see, like, I didn't think Saga was good feeling.
Not Breaking Bad.
You don't like Breaking Bad?
I hate it.
That's interesting.
Because every character in there is a horrible person.
Yeah.
I actually never started watching it.
Saga, I think the reason I like it is because you have two people that are there for each other no matter what.
Yeah, I just didn't like them.
That aren't horrible people.
See, I don't think she's a good person. I don't get that vibe.
I didn't say she was a good person. I said she wasn't a horrible person.
Yeah, and neither's forever.
She didn't execute an innocent man, so.
Allegedly, right? You pointed out we don't actually know the answer to that. And now, see, my brain, since you said that, has been trying to remember if he's alive. Because you said that?
Yeah, because you don't see the panel where he dies. They just cut it, and she says he's dead. But they also say that she's kind of showing some, like, reluctant tendencies, or, like, she's asking too many questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's an excellent example of Image Comics independence. Actually, there can be all kinds, but I find that a lot of them kind of have vibes like that.
So, for next week, are we going to read Volume 2?
Depending on if people are available for the time that I have earmarked that I started sending out and then realized that I didn't verify it with all of us because I was like, oh, because that was the only time that made sense in my brain. I didn't even make sure my schedule worked. It was just what I thought made sense. Potentially, next time would be the call-in episode.
Part two of our one-year celebration.
But if it doesn't work with schedules, that doesn't matter to me. The point is it's coming up. It makes no difference to me. If that's the case, faithful listener, if you follow along when you read or you want to know what happens next week, I would suggest looking in the description because it will say, nice. There you go. So whether you're listening now or checking the website.
Yeah.
Great.
Did you listen to last week's?
I'm halfway through.
Nice.
I had to do some catching up, but...
I just wondered if you've still been listening.
Yeah, I've been keeping up.
Wow.
Nice.
It's like a whole new Will. Whole new Will.
That's what we should do.
What?
What should, like, we do, Will?
Covers of weird, or like, not weird, weird covers of Disney songs related to our podcast.
So parodies?
Yeah. That's what it's called.
Cool.
I couldn't think of the word.
There you go.
Hey, I'm here to help.
He's helpful like that.
Sometimes.
As the manager, he is very helpful.
Wow, we had gotten away from that.
I know. I was so glad it was gone.
What reminded me is like on the Discord, we submitted everything. And he's like,
I know.
All right, everything's uploaded. We're all good. Good work, guys. And I'm like, that is a very managerial thing to say.
See, you did it to yourself.
I did it to myself. I know, I did. I wasn't saying I didn't.
Well, boss man, you got anything else?
I don't.
Nope.
Same.
Nothing for me.
Well, I guess I'm the manager.
And this is Will.
And I'm the professor. And we are Guys with Issues. You used to be the Disruptor.
I used to be, but now I've got so many names.
Yeah, now he's just Will on seven different segments.
I've got, like, Roomba Will. I've got Weird Will and, Email Will. Yeah, there we go.
You can catch Guys with Issues anywhere you can find your favorite podcasts.
Or check out our website at guyswithissues.com, where you can listen, find reading lists to follow along, and get to know us better.
Send us emails to longbots@guyswithissues.com and tell us your thoughts or send us suggestions on what we should read next. We would love to hear from our listener. Oh, there it goes. It took a second for the light to come on.
It better be running.
It's like me in running, the morning.
Running. Takes a second for the
lights to come on. Somebody pushes the button for me to get up, but it takes a minute for the lights to come on.